scarcely able to believe her eyes, she read, "Suits are settled in radium deaths." What? She quickly read on and found the headline did not lie. USRC had settled out of court the suits of Marguerite Carlo, Sarah Mylifer, and Hazel Kuza. The women had beaten the corporation, got money for what the firm had done to them. Grace could barely believe it. Surely that was an admission of guilt. Surely this opened the door for her and her friends to bring a lawsuit. She read on in excitement. Mr. Carlo, the girl's father, received $9,000 for the death of Marguerite Carlo and $3,000 for the death of Mrs. Mylifer, and Mr. Kuza received $1,000 for the death of his wife. It was hardly big money. Theo's settlement, in particular, barely dented the $8,904 debts that he and his father had incurred for Hazel's care, especially once Mr. Kalich took his 45% cut. This was a higher-than-usual split with the attorney, but the families did not have much choice but to agree, for he had been the only lawyer to take the case. In the end, Theo was left with just $550, but it was better than nothing. Grace wondered what on earth had happened to make the company pay out when it had fought the women for almost 18 months with no sign that they would concede a single cent. In fact, behind the scenes at USRC, there were probably several reasons, not least of which was that the women, especially the Carlo sisters, had strong cases. The company might well have lost before a sympathetic jury. Even looked at from a basic legal perspective, the cases were promising. The girls had filed within the 2-year statute. There was Catherine Wiley's new law supporting the girls' claims that they had been killed by such a thing as radium necrosis. And there was also the issue of the Drinker report. Sarah had still been employed by USRC at the time the firm had chosen to suppress it. If it came out that the company had received information that could have saved her, or at the very least mitigated the harm caused, and hadn't acted upon it, it would look very bad indeed. Grace was galvanised into action. This was the good news she'd been waiting for. She got back in touch with lawyer Henry Gottfried, and just 2 days after she'd read about the settlements, the wheels of her own claim were set in motion. On 6th of May 1926, USRC received the following message from Gottfried. "Gentlemen, unless you communicate with me relative to Miss Fryer's claim for damages on or before Monday, May 10th, 1926, I will be compelled to institute suit." USRC, like clockwork, immediately referred the matter to their attorney, Stryker, who seemingly asked Gottfried to name a number. On 8th of June, Gottfried wrote to say that Grace would be willing to settle for $5,000. It wasn't a gigantic sum of money. It would cover the extensive medical bills that Grace had already run up, plus provide a nest egg to pay the future expenses that would undoubtedly be required. Grace wasn't a greedy person, and she didn't really want to start a big lawsuit. If the company would simply make her a fair offer, she was prepared to take that compensation and be done. USRC took just 1 week to respond. "I have your letter of the 8th, Stryker replied on 15th of June, "and note your suggestion. I cannot advise my client to adopt it." The company refused to do anything for Miss Fryer without suit.